folks. Welcome to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Awesome Albert here. Well, my son goes and gets me a protein shake to get some energy. I've been in North Carolina all weekend.
Today is January 23rd, by the way. 06.
It's on the news. Yeah, January 23rd. Thank you, Albert. It's on the news that January 23rd is the worst day of the year for whatever reason.
I've heard that.
A lot of bad things happen. You know, yesterday's the anniversary of Roe versus Wade when they legalized murdering babies.
Well.
Anyway. Yeah. You know, the number of abortions every year is about equal to the number of people waiting to adopt. It's just dumb that we're murdering like the man on me. Anyway, this is Kent Hovind and Awesome Albert. We're live here in Pensacola, Florida.
January 23rd.
Thank you. Okay, 06. Get me on track here. And we defend the position that the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. And the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. There has never been a dumber idea than to teach the kids they all came from a rock 4.6 billion years ago. I can't imagine that people would honestly believe that. But, hey, they do, so we're here to help. You can join us on the program two different ways, actually three, and soon to be four. You can call, and we'll put you right on the air first. We take phone calls first at 850-479-DINO. Extension?
136.
You got it. That's your extension. Did you ever check the messages on there?
I don't know how still.
You got to know.
We tried that one day, and I just gave up.
Because people, when you answer, it's kind of like the Grinch, you know. Do not leave a message, you know. It's not that bad. But we don't know how to answer that machine. That's why God made secretaries, okay?
Exactly.
That's right. Anyway, you can call us 850-479-DINO or 877-479-DINO. And that'll take you right into the ministry here, Creation Science Evangelism in Pensacola, Florida, where it is 432. And then you can go to extension 136, or just say, I'd like to be on the radio program if somebody answers, but you never know. Or you can instant message us, AOL instant message at Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. I forgot to check if I left any hanging. Friday, I said, I'm not going to be here Monday. But guess what?
You're here.
I'm here. We got back early. Okay? Not early. That's the time. Had a great meeting in North Carolina to Triad Baptist Church.
Did you fly?
I flew. The plane did. I just sat. But they broke an all-time attendance record.
Really?
They normally had, 900 there in Sunday school and church. They had 1,550 for the seminar congregation. And we had 30 churches last year that I spoke at that broke all-time attendance records. So that creation subject brings them out of the woodwork. And that's the goal. That's what we're trying to do. So join us on the program, 877-479-DINO, extension 136, or Dr. Dino Live, AOL instant message. Okay. Got a call. Before I get into the instant messages, let me take the phone call first here, as our policy has been for a coon's age here. Okay. Who's on the phone there, Albert?
We have Steve from Pittsburgh.
Steve from Pittsburgh. Let me make a note of this here. Yes, sir, Steve.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Hovind?
I'm getting old, brother.
There you go. Well, yeah, I've got a question for you concerning how you believe in that canopy theory.
Sure.
About the atmosphere. Right. And I'm a big fan of you. And I was just wondering, I was reading another creation site, Answers in Genesis.
Right.
And they were just saying, like, a lot of creationists don't use that, you know, that theory anymore. They're throwing it out. And I was just wondering if you still stand by that. Or do you have something else you believe in?
No, I very much stand by it. I appreciate all the things those guys do. Answers in Genesis, doing a great work. I have to very strongly disagree on that particular topic. I think not only the Bible, but also the scientific evidence is pretty clear that there was a canopy. I just read an article today about near Tallahassee, Florida. They just spent $40 bazillion, whatever it was, to put in a huge magnetic test unit, doing stuff with magnetic fields. Anyway,
all right.
They built something that is 45 Tesla. I forget how they rate the strength of it. But anyway, it's a huge magnet. When they put water in the middle of it, it automatically goes into a near-perfect sphere and floats because of the strong magnetic field.
All right.
Well, there are several theories of what held the canopy up. Most of the objections by groups that don't believe in the canopy. And by the way, let me just kind of a quick review for those that are maybe listening that don't have a clue what we're talking about. In Genesis chapter 1, in verse 6 and verse 7, It says, God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And then later in verse 20, it tells us the birds fly in the firmament. So that's obviously the air where the birds fly. Okay. So here Genesis tells us there was water above the firmament. 2 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says, God created the earth. It was in the water and out of the water. Which to me is pretty clear that this backs up the canopy theory that the earth was in the water and out of the water. Also, you find evidence of greater air pressure on the earth because of the giant animals that lived, and evidence of richer oxygen levels, like 30% oxygen instead of 20% like we have today. And you see people living to be 900 years old in the scripture. So I think, yes, there had to be a canopy. The big objection they have, a canopy of water. I got sidetracked here. So the creation view that I take, and many others take, by the way, is that before the flood came, God designed the world with a canopy of water or ice above the atmosphere. The book of Josephus, if you can get that, that's what the Jews have believed for centuries. Josephus said that on the second day, God placed a crystalline canopy around the world. So they believe it was a crystalline canopy, and I do too. So does Carl Baugh in Glen Rose, Texas. He says the canopy was probably a canopy of ice. And I would guess, I'm just picking a number here out of the clear blue sky, but I would guess 10 or 20 or 30 inches, maybe, you know, maybe several feet thick, I don't know. But there was a canopy of ice around the world. The big objection that people have is what held it up, and did it create a greenhouse effect, you know, where the temperature just runs away. It keeps getting hotter and hotter and hotter because it traps all the, you know, temperature. As far as what held it up, there are several theories. One is that it was suspended by the Earth's magnetic field because, you know, certainly ice, super cold ice, takes on magnetic qualities. Even just water would work under a strong enough magnetic field, as it's been demonstrated. The other theory is centrifugal force would help hold it up, just a spinning canopy. The third theory is just simple air pressure, like an inflated dome. You know, you just, it's floating above the air because if it's solid, it can't, you know, can't collapse. So you get a crack in it.
All right.
Okay. Then as far as the runaway greenhouse effect, Dr. Baugh, Glen Rose, Texas, he's at creationscience.com, has stuff on his website about that. But God designed everything. He would have thought of all of that as far as moderating the temperatures and stuff like that. I don't see a problem at all. I still very strongly believe in the canopy theory, and I disagree with the groups that say no.
Yeah, because like I said, what I was reading before, their main thing was, you know, the rain would have caused our surface to be, you know, really hot. So how could that, you know, that vapor or canopy, how could that, you know, be a significant source of, you know, the flood water?
Oh, I never say it was. That's the other thing. They say, well, there had to be 40 feet of water up there to make a significant source of rainwater for the flood. I have never taught that the canopy contributed much to the flood. I just say the canopy contributed to the pre-flood atmosphere being different. The water for the flood came from inside the earth. The Bible is pretty clear on that. The fountains of the deep broke open. So if you read Psalm 24, verse 1, and Psalm 136, both say the earth had water under the crust of the earth. He founded the earth upon the seas. So most of the water that's now in the oceans used to be in the earth's crust. It came shooting to the surface when the fountains of the deep broke open. So if their objection is that the canopy couldn't provide a significant amount of water, I would agree. But that does not prove there's no canopy up there. Does that make sense?
Okay, well, I'm glad you cleared that up for me. I was just, you know, just one of the things I was really curious about, so.
Sure.
But I don't know. Again, thank you again, man. I'm a real big fan, and I'm trying to get all your debate series. Big witnessing tool, and I believe I'm 22, and I think the generation now needs to see evidence. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong, people wave the white flag saying Jesus come, you know, he'll make everything better, but for me it was the evidence, and I'm finding more and more at this generation is the evidence that, you know, helps, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to thank you again, and thanks for answering that question.
Well, good. Now, I've only spoken in Pittsburgh once, I think. My dad was raised in Pittsburgh and then moved to La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
That's my roots go back to Pittsburgh. So you got a bunch of heathen up there.
Yeah, you know what? I'd love for you to come up and if you ever have time, speak at my church. I mean, it'd be awesome, man. I've been spreading your word around and letting people hear about it and find it very interesting. We have Bible studies every Wednesday and been showing some of your series and that on the Garden of Eden, and you know, it's catching everybody's attention. So,
well, good. Keep it up.
Will do. Will do. And one thing, go Steelers.
Okay. Because that's a team of some kind, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And the angels rejoice.
All right. Keep it up.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
No problem.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, folks. You can join us on the program, 877-479-DINO. 877-479-DINO. If you're in the U.S., if you're outside, you got to call 850, which is a Pensacola area code. Pensacola, Florida. 850-479-DINO, extension 136. Or you can instant message us at Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. This weekend, Albert, I did not even look. Where am I going this weekend? I am in Pensacola, Florida.
Hey.
Actually, Jay, Florida. We're 40 miles north of here. I'm speaking in Jay, Florida, just north of Pensacola, about 30, 40 miles, if you want to come. It's a Pine Level Baptist Church this weekend. You're welcome to come. And we have, let's see, man, what a busy day here. Good. And my wife flies in right now from Houston. She's been there with my daughter and son-in-law for, 2 weeks, I guess, taking care of him in the hospital, a week and a half. So, good to have her back. Okay, who we got on the phone now, Albert?
Johnny from Pittsburgh, California.
Pittsburgh, California. Now, that's a stretch. That's a long way. Johnny, yes, sir. Go ahead, Johnny.
Isn't that something? Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh on two different ends of the planet here.
Now, you don't have a team out there, do you?
Here's the funny part. Yesterday, I was at a seminar given by those same people. And
you mean Answers in Genesis?
Correct.
Oh, yeah. Good. They do great work. I don't fight them at all. I love what they do.
I was very excited about a lot of this person's info, but this nut was packing a new King James, and he just would not get off it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had called you last week to say, do you recommend them? And you said, well, I have a few small differences with them, but, brother, that's a big difference.
Yeah, which speaker was it? They've got 8 or 10 people go out speaking for him.
I do not recall this fellow's name.
Did he have an Australian accent, Jonathan Sarfati, or...
No, it was a Marine.
Oh, the redhead guy.
Older fella.
No, the older fellow. Let's see. Well, they got some really good speakers. I mean, I love what they do. You know, like I said, I don't fight them. I think they're definitely on our side.
Riddle. It was Mike Riddle.
Oh, Mike Riddle. Yeah, Mike Riddle's a good friend of mine.
He's good. He's very informative. But that, God, and I even asked him during the break, Brother White, why are you packing that? And are you saying my new King or my old King James is bad? And he comes off with me, and I have to run it by you. Genesis 1:1, he says, originally it's in the beginning created God and not God created, due to the Hebrew and English difference in languages. So is that to say my King James is just not good and that the 100 or so translators got it wrong right on the first verse?
Well, there were 56 translators that had a total of probably 500 years of study of the Hebrew. I think I'll believe them over anybody else, okay?
Yeah.
Plus, God promised he would preserve his word, so, you know, where is it? I would like to see a copy of it, please. Actually, I want to hold it in my hand. And so, yeah, no, I believe King James translators got it exactly correct. And, you know, yeah, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I would strongly disagree. Now, some things are worth arguing about. You know, that may be certainly worth arguing about. And I myself, as a Christian, for years would have gone around correcting the King James Version because I didn't know any better. Okay? Just in the last probably 8 or 10 years, I've been drag kicking and screaming into the King James camp, and I believe God preserved his word like he said he would. And I can hold a copy of it in my hand. And I got it. So, yeah, Mike Riddle does a great job. I love what he does. He's been a friend of mine for years. Wouldn't fight him for a second, but I would sure argue that one with him if he'd like.
That would be an interesting debate on that topic between the two of you. Oh, interesting. One more question for you regarding some of the stuff you said. Are you with me?
Yes, sir. Huh?
you've mentioned 2 Chronicles 4:2, where we deal with Solomon making a molten sea
right.
out of brass.
Mm-hmm.
Is
hang
that
on.
Just
can you hang on, Jonathan? We got a break here.
Yeah.
Donnie, we'll be back in about 2 minutes. Just hold on, hold the phone. We'll be right back.
Got it.
Welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Awesome Albert. Is that name going to stick, I guess?
I guess so.
Is it? You really are, too. Good to have you around here on the staff. You can join us here at Dr. Dino Live at 877-479-DINO, extension 136, or instant messages, Dr. Dino Live, AOL instant message, and we'll get to your messages in just a moment. Johnny, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Pittsburgh. Where on earth is Pittsburgh, California?
In the Bay Area.
No, I lived in Fairfield for 3 years. I never heard of Pittsburgh.
Well,
what's
you're
it?
Lucky then. You're a lucky man.
Is it on the peninsula, San Francisco side? Or?
It's right along the delta near Antioch.
Boy, I don't tell you what. It's been years since I've been out there, but you got a bunch of heathen out there. I know that for sure. Man.
Oh, amen.
Good. Anyway.
It's officially the armpit of the Bay Area.
The geographically or literally?
Oh, brother.
Are you near the Winchester Mystery House?
That's probably 40 minutes drive.
Have you been to that place?
Yes, I have.
That lady was loony, wasn't she?
A nut. A certified nut.
Certified nut. Albert needs to hear. Mrs. Winchester inherited a fortune when her husband died. He invented the Winchester rifle. This is back, 150 years ago. And she went to seances, and, she was just off into this witchcraft kind of stuff, whatever. And a couple of people at the seance told her, as soon as you stop building your house, the ghosts of all these people that your husband's rifle killed are going to come haunt you. So she never quit building the house. She hired carpenters to work full-time, round the clock, building, and it's the weirdest house. How big is that house, brother?
It just covers many acres. The exact, I don't know. Many acres.
There are 13 palm trees in the driveway. Some of the sinks will have 13 drain holes. I mean, she was into,
number
13. She was just, she had glass floor, but she could see down to watch the cooks to make sure they didn't poison her. She was paranoid her whole life, absolutely paranoid. Doorways, you open the doorway and there's a wall. It doesn't go anywhere. You take a stairway up and it goes to the ceiling, She's trying to confuse all the spirits that might be chasing her around the house. Anyway, so you asked about 2 Chronicles. What was the verse there?
4:2.
Okay.
It refers to Solomon making a molten sea.
Mm-hmm.
My question for you would be, is that molten sea water as a figurative, or is it an actual liquid metal?
Neither. The molten sea, Solomon made a molten sea of 10 cubits from brim to brim. I believe that's just referring to a big round bowl. They would call it a sea because it was so big, but it's just a giant bowl, basically. Big bowl of water or oil, whatever they're going to put in it.
Okay, so the Lord didn't have it to stand for anything, just as something to look at?
I don't know that God even told him to build it. No, just something. Solomon built a lot of things,
Okay.
Yeah. Molten sea as opposed to... they would take metals and shape it several different ways. One is you dig a hole the exact shape what you want, and you pour it with liquid metal. You have to heat it up and melt it. The other way is to take metals, and usually they do this with gold, or I don't know if silver can be done with if it's malleable enough, but they beat it. It's wrought, or you just simply beat it into the condition shape you want. Like with clay, when you model something out of clay, you don't melt it and pour it. You can't, It just turns to ceramic when you heat it. Whereas gold will turn to liquid when you heat it. So it depends on... There are some metals, they would melt them to make things. And that's what molten sea refers to, a big bowl that he made out of melted brass.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you. If you're ever in the Bay Area, we'll definitely come to see.
I've only been there once. I don't get any churches out there to give me a call. Tell somebody to call me up. I'll be glad to come.
Very good.
All right, thanks a lot. All right, bye-bye. All right, folks, if you're on the program, you can call 877-479-DINO extension 136. We believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. God made the world in 6 days, just like he said he did. and the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. Can't believe people out there in the 21st century still think they came from a rock. Way, way behind the times. They need help, Albert. We can do it, though. Did you go home this last weekend?
No, I was here.
Okay, a couple weeks ago you went home.
Yeah.
That's a long drive.
Yeah.
Ocala. I was telling Robert's mom and dad, her grandparents just came in, you know, they're going to drive down to Miami. I said, well.
Oh, Hollywood, yeah, they're going to be living in Hollywood.
They came from California, drove from California. I said, well, if you made it as far as Pensacola, you're now about halfway to Miami. It's a long ways to Miami.
About 11 more hours to go.
Oh, it's incredible, man. And you go to Key West? It's closer to Chicago from here than it is to Key West.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
You've never been to Chicago? You don't know anything about
it. I've been close to Key West. Well, I've been close to Miami. I've been in Fort Lauderdale.
Nothing there I want to see. Okay.
A lot of heathen. A
lot of heathen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, join us on the program here, 877-479-DINO, extension 136. He was mentioning about the molten sea. This is one of the supposed contradictions that people say. The Bible has a contradiction, you know. In 1 Kings 7:26, it's talking about this Solomon's molten sea. And it says it contained 2,000 baths. A bath is about 8 gallons. Of course, for some people, take more than that to cover them up, you know. But I don't know what. Who? I don't know where the number comes from. Just it's called a bath. Okay, forget it. I'm sorry I brought it up. But the 2,000 baths is a lot of water. I mean, 3,000 baths or 2,000 baths. They're two different numbers, anyway. If you read these in 1 Kings chapter 7:26, it says Solomon's molten sea held 2,000 baths. 2 Chronicles 4:5, the passage he was referring to, says it held 3,000 baths. Well, 1 Kings 7:26 says it was a handbreadth thick, and the brim thereof was wrought like the brim of a cup with flowers and lilies. It contained 2,000 baths. That's 16,000 gallons of water, or whatever they put in it. Oil or something, I don't know. When you read 2 Chronicles 4:5, it says it received and held 3,000 baths. Oh, is there a contradiction here? Nope. It held 3,000 baths, but it only contained 2,000 baths. Like my gas tank holds 30 gallons, but only contains, you know, 10 sometimes. Sometimes, well, none. Okay? So, no, not a contradiction at all. All right, get your questions in here right away to Dr. Dino Live. D-R-D-I-N-O-L-I-V-E. Here we go. Millen of Nazareth. Now, there's an interesting name. Says, yes, actually, I was just curious about Mr. Hovind's theory about the ice meteor that caused the biblical flood. More information on it and where he got the idea for this. Ever since I heard him mention it, I've been curious as to how he came to that conclusion. Oh, Millen, it is not original with me. There is a book someplace in our library which has now been rearranged. It's going to take me 5 years to figure out where everything is. It's actually in order now is the problem. I see it. No, never mind. It's called The Biblical Flood and the Ice Epic. It's kind of a light blue and white cover. Pretty good-sized book. I thought that was the green one there. Anyway, Don Patton, years and years ago, there are two Don Pattons, one from Oregon and one from Texas. But Don Patton from Oregon, years ago, like 25 years ago, had made a film strip and an audio tape covering the biblical flood and the ice epic theory that possibly what caused the flood in the days of Noah was a near miss with an ice meteor, or actually a collision with an ice meteor. An ice meteor coming at the Earth would not hit in one piece. It would hit into billions of pieces. And there's a phenomenon that as it gets closer, the gravity becomes stronger because of the inverse square law. And at some point, the close side of the meteor is actually pulling faster than the far side of the meteor. And this is called Roche's Limit, R-O-S-C-H. And at Roche's Limit, which is 2.44 times the diameter of the larger planet, or about 20,000 miles out, the meteor would tend to shatter and break apart into a billion pieces. We saw the same thing when Comet Shoemaker hit Jupiter. You can check that out on the internet. It broke up into a bazillion pieces before it hit. So I would say I took Don Patton's theory and added some things of my own to it, and I believe it answers most of the questions, okay? Who's on the phone there, Albert?
We have Sean from Barrington, Rhode Island.
Rhode Island. Yes, yeah. Sean. They talk funny up there.
Yes, they do. So they do, sir. Dr. Hovind, I have your DVD set. My math tutor gave them to me. You're a good Christian. He started out when I had a project on evolution, and I said, "Who doesn't believe it?" He says, "I don't." And then I laughed at him. But then he gave me your tape set, and you clarified things so well. Now I annoy my teachers constantly.
All right, hang on through the break here. We got a break, Sean. We'll be back in about 2 minutes. Okay.
All right.
Be right back. Bye bye. Good evening, folks. Welcome back to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Awesome Albert live here on the airwaves.
January 23rd.
23rd. I've been forgetting to announce that. 06. And here are the four folks who believe the Bible is true and the evolution theory is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. And you can join us at 877-479-DINO or 850-479-DINO extension 136. Okay. Marcus is supposed to be calling in any minute, so we have on the phone with us here Sean from Rhode Island. Still there, Sean?
Hi, yes, I'm
yes,
here.
Sir. Okay, go ahead.
Well, first question, you called me back a few weeks ago, but I was in school at the time, so I didn't pick up. I asked about the Book of Enoch. I was watching History Channel book of my dad recently, and they talked about the Book of Enoch and that it's forbidden or something like that, or that it was taken out of the Bible.
I don't think Book of Enoch was ever in the Bible. I don't know about that. I've got the Book of Enoch here. It's still in print. You can buy it.
Yeah.
I don't have the original, but.
So it cool.
Right.
But it claims that Adam that Cain and Abel, because they with their sister, they basically created us all.
Yeah, there's all kinds of controversy about the Book of Enoch. There are basically two theories. One is that it's genuine, and one is that it's a fake. Okay?
I see.
I don't know. I tend to lean toward possibly it's a fake. Here's the only thing I'm aware of that I can tell you about it. The Bible says in the book of Jude that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied. And that's all it says. It doesn't say he wrote a book. It says he prophesied. He made a prophecy that something was going to happen. I suspect that the Catholics saw that and said, oh, hey, here's a chance. We can get some monk to sit in a monastery, get some old parchments, and write in old-style language, and we will get him to write a book that then, you know, teaches what we want taught, and everybody will think, aha, see, it says in the Bible.
Yeah. Now, I got to tell you something. I'm 16 years old. I've gone to Catholic CCD classes all my life, and I'm a Catholic, but
okay.
I was a kid who I annoyed my original CCD teachers first by saying to them, look, there's only Cain and Abel, and they can't have children. That's silly, and it's against the law. I said, so where did the rest of us come from? Then I remember telling them, my CCD teachers could tell you a load. I remember saying to them, what about the last book of the Bible? They pretended not to know what I was talking about. And I said, there's a judgment coming. And they said, I think that's science fiction. I said, oh, no, it's the Bible. But, yeah, I was the annoying little kid in the front row.
Well, good. Well, I used to go to Catholic Church as a kid. I was never a member, but there are just so many things they believe that teach that just are contrary to Scripture. I said, guys, forget it, you know?
Yeah. One thing I'd like to mention to you, probably not now, but I'm doing a paper for school, public school. My teachers actually let me write it on this topic. I'm naming it, I'm still picking a title. It's either going to be If the Baptists Had a Pope or Savior of Souls, but it's a paper on you, Doctor.
Okay.
And it's I'm just interested in how you started your, I don't know if you want to answer now or if I could call your office later, but about how you started in 1989, the year I was born.
Right.
You know, a lot of things happened that year. My favorite baseball player signed on to my favorite team, Nolan Ryan, the Texas Rangers. You started, it's almost as if I'm a pinnacle.
There you go. Okay, it was a good year. Well, we moved here to Pensacola January 89.
Yeah.
I started writing letters to the editor of our local Pensacola News Journal about creation. And I was working a construction job, but started ministering occasionally. And pretty soon it grew. Within probably 8 months, it grew. I had to quit my job and go full-time.
Wow. And
I've been full-time ever since. Speaking on creation and evolution and dinosaurs.
I see. Now, where did you... You mentioned in the tape, I have the tape series that has the Hovind theory, the dinosaurs in the Bible, the dangers of evolution, lies in the textbooks. You mentioned that you first saved a soul of a football player.
Well, the Lord saved him, but yeah, I showed him how. Right.
Yeah, you gave him the map. So let me ask you a question. exactly how many people, do you, I mean, of course you probably don't know that, but so you started then and you were just in high school?
Yes, sir. Just been saved a few months. I was 16 years old.
You kept it up yourself, basically. You've kept it up yourself. Well, you know, all the way, and you explored different careers. I'm guessing that because you said you worked in construction.
Well, I taught school 15 years, but
that's
summer.
That's right. You said that. I remember that.
Yeah, I was unemployed every summer, so I've always done construction, had roofing, and I can do about anything with construction. I just don't have time anymore.
I see. Yeah, it's tons of fun. I want to live in a ranch when I'm older. But
sure.
All right, so that's very interesting. Now, when did you develop? You also mentioned that Inherit the Wind. I'm doing a paragraph called Inherit the Wind, where you mentioned that you watched that for a number of years before you realized what baloney it was. Did you at any time during your childhood, were you at all tend to believe in the billion year theories and in or in any of the theories that you now know are, you know, totally fake?
Oh yeah, I was majoring in math and science, and I believed all that evolution stuff, and I swallowed it hook, line, and sinker.
Got you to, well, you know, learn the bait was well fake?
Well, when I first became a Christian at age 16 and started going to the Baptist church, I was reading my Bible and also studying science, and so I had a Scofield reference edition. That's C.I. Scofield took the King James Bible and put his footnotes at the bottom. One of his footnotes said there's a gap between verse 1 and verse 2, and you can put billions of years in that gap.
Mm-hmm.
And so I fell for that for years and thought, well, we'll just forget about the creation. You know, we'll just, you know, it was billions of years ago. We can believe both, you know, creation and evolution.
That's what I believed for a long time.
And then I quickly began to realize after a couple of years, I said, man, something is seriously wrong here because now we're going to have death before sin.
Uh-huh.
And I read some of the books by Henry Morris, Institute for Creation Research, and, you know, really got me straightened out that, man, the six-day literal creation is correct.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was the first theory that I believed, and then it was the second, it's a resolution. The second theory, I believe, was that evolution theory, and now, because it's just about every television show dealing with time travel has to go back to the beginning, and it's really not the beginning, but, you know.
Right.
Now I'm back to the truth. now, let me ask you this. You said that all your children work for you?
Right. We have a ministry here, about 40 people working in our ministry, and my three kids and their spouses and four grandkids.
Tell me, do you have anyone working for you who is not Baptist?
A couple, but we're working on them.
Yeah. Well, personally, I want to be I'm older. I want to be in commercial real estate. I want to be a businessman, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to be one of those business people who does things dishonestly or gives his money to some stupid charity that benefits people who, you know, that benefits people who rather sit on their behinds than work and, you know, get a job, as you would say, changing tires or picking peaches.
Right.
But I want, you know, I'd like to consider myself part of your ministry, and I'm very moved by your tapes. I've had them for months, and it's amazing what you've done for people. And I think that your ministry will probably grow. Heck, your son who appears in the front probably when you comes time for you to retire, probably he'll carry on the torch.
Hope so, or a grandson or somebody.
Grandson,
you know.
great. Hey, it'll go on forever, you know.
I hope so.
Yeah, and really, thank you. And is there anything that you'd like me to stick in there? Maybe I can. Unfortunately, this person is. We've become the rebels, and they've become the man. Is there anything you'd like me to say in this paper that might kind of stick it to them?
Okay. No. Let's see. But I know if you keep reading that Bible, pretty soon you can be a Baptist too. You know.
All right. Now let me ask you this: have you ever considered? I have read the Bible a little. I try to. Have you? You said that the Bible, you know, they translate the Bible in order to help people understand it. Did you ever consider this? Did you ever consider yourself as maybe a big project? If you ever have some time for yourself, get some money for your ministry, making your own translation of the Bible, putting it into not old English, new English, so that, you know, hook in another generation.
I have thought many times about possibly doing a study Bible. I would take the King James and just explain some of the passages.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I have my footnotes. I wouldn't change the Bible, but I'd put my footnotes at the bottom saying,
right, because I, I think personally that kids would love to see a Bible where they, where, I mean, I love the Bible. It's the Word of God. If I ever testify in a court case, I will put my right hand on it. But and I keep one by my bed. But I think that it could definitely use some. And I'm good in Western Civ, in my Western Civ class. But I think that when I read that old English, it's very hard for me. It's even hard for my father, and he grew up in a Catholic orphanage.
Wow. All right. Well, hey, brother, I got another call on the line to my guest speaker for my guest caller for tonight. But we appreciate
all right,
you calling
well, thank
in.
Thank you. If there's anything, you guys, I want to go to Pensacola and I want to see your Dino Museum. So I'm going to try and convince my father to take a vacation this summer.
Do it in the winter. Do it in the winter, man. It's 72 degrees down here right now.
Oh, that's the only time I've been in the summer, and my dad can't get his time off till the summer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, I'll talk to you later. Hey. And God bless, and my best to your family.
Hey, thanks a lot, Sean.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye. All right, folks, if you want to be on the program, I have to wait a few more minutes because I believe Morris Boyd, to go ahead and pick it up, Albert, and to get the line that's on hold, or is she going to transfer it? We're working on Glenda in there. Okay, we're ready for the next caller here. 877-479-DINO, extension 136. Come in and show them how to do it, Glenda. There's too many buttons in here. Albert, this is confusing. Look at all that. You got 8,000 buttons over there. What do you do? Okay. Glenda, transfer him to call, would you? Okay. You can be on the program here, 877-479-DINO, or instant messages, Dr. Dino Live. Okay. What'd she say?
I don't know. Help.
He's calling back?
Yeah. Huh?
You lost him. Oh.
I didn't. Dr. Dino Live.
You got to pick it up and transfer it in there, I think. We don't know how to run all this stuff, Glenda. That's why God made secretaries. Okay. Meanwhile, while we wait to get our guest on the line, Morris Boyd from Arkansas, let's see. Next question was J.R. Mosier 3. I was watching the video seminar and wondering if the timeline chart is available online. I'm sorry. It is not. I'm not for it or against it. We're just not, okay? You can buy the giant timeline. It's like $50, laminated, it's 5 foot long, and $40, whatever it is. Check on our website, Dr. Dino, for that. Or a small version of it is available in the back of our seminar notebook. Okay. All right, do we have Morris on the phone? No. We have another caller. Okay. All right. We're trying to get Morris. He's supposed to be on the program here tonight. We got another one there. This is a surprise. Who's on there, Albert?
We have Rodney from Gainesville, Florida.
Rodney, Gainesville.
I mean Gainesville, Georgia.
Georgia, okay. Yes, sir, Rodney.
Yes, I'd read a lot of the books off your site, and I just finished Dragons and Natural History.
Uh-huh.
And I came across a line that I found interesting. It says that the acclaimed American scientist, Dr. Carl Sagan, thought that we had memories of dragons from when we were small creatures and scurried around underneath them.
So wait a minute. As when we were like a squirrel running around the woods, we slowly evolved to human, and we changed everything, but we kept a memory of a dragon.
Yeah, I thought that was... I'd never heard you mention that in your seminars. I read that in the book and thought it was kind of funny.
He's got to be loony. How can he believe such a thing?
I don't know. But for everybody to hold him in such high esteem, I thought that was interesting that he had such a crazy idea.
All right. Well, hey, appreciate you telling me about that.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. All right. Yeah, we remember from when we were a squirrel. We can remember. You remember when you were a squirrel billions of years ago, Albert?
Of course.
Of course. I mean, that's like saying you remember something that happened to your grandparents or great-grandparents or great-great-grandparents. How dumb. Carl Sagan is an otherwise intelligent guy, you know? Or was.
Dr. Dino Live, this is Albert.
We got all these buttons in here. Albert, you got that all straight. Finally. We need a techno wizard in here, don't we, that can run the phone.
Hey, we've been expecting your call.
Hold okay, on there second. We go. Join us on the program here. We have with us Morris Boyd from Arkansas. You there, brother?
Yes, sir. I'm here, Brother
Hope. Hey, I'm sorry about the problem. We've had one phone call after another here.
Well, that's great.
But I appreciate you calling in here. I want you to tell folks a little bit about your ministry, what got you started, and what you do, and how they get a hold of you. And go ahead. The floor is yours.
Sure. Thank you very much. Well, I got started about 10 years ago at the age of 54 when I was saved. I started trying to study the Bible and I'd had years and years of evolution teaching, and I was convinced that evolution was a fact. As far as I knew, it had been proven 99.9% accurate. And when I started studying the Bible, I really had some problems. I couldn't figure out where Adam fit in and where death fit in and how old the earth was. And I was really having some problems, becoming frustrated, I guess you might say.
Right.
And the church that I was going to at the time taught the gap theory. And that seemed to help for a little while, but it still didn't answer the nagging questions about Adam and death and sin, and the age of the earth still kept nagging me, because it just looked like from just the plain reading of the Bible that the earth was about 6,000 years old. And so I said, man, what's going on? And one day my pastor called me from a little church that I just moved to and said, you've got to see some tapes I've got. He said, it will absolutely change the way you look at the world. And he brought me your set of 7 tapes. And I watched them, and sure enough, it changed the way I look at the world. And I said, yes, this is it. So about 3 years ago, I heard you speak at Marlton, Arkansas. And I knew then that this is what the Lord wanted me to do. And I just kept complaining and complaining that no one around here was doing this kind of work, that I had never heard any sermons preached on this, and where are the churches and all this. I'd found lots of good information from lots of creditable people, and one night my wife came in, she was reading the Bible, and she said, honey, I'm reading Isaiah 6:8 right here, and I think it says something like, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. She said, you do it. So I said, yes, I'm going to be a creation evangelist in this area. And so I got your startup kit and pretty well memorized your tapes, and I hit the road doing pretty well what you're doing.
Awesome.
In the meantime, I started picking up books and videos. I've heard Ken Ham speak a couple of times. I was very impressed and started getting books. Jonathan Wells' Icons of Evolution helped me out quite a bit, and things just started coming together here in this area. And I found out that there were some more people in this area who were interested in getting some sort of creation group together to start teaching creation in this area. And I met a guy that lives near me, near Hot Springs, that's interested in building a dinosaur adventure land, something like you have. He lives right next to Magic Springs. What a wonderful place to have a dinosaur adventure land.
Amen.
So I started contacting some pastors and that I know in this area, and I was welcome into a few churches and not welcome into some others. In this area, the gap theory is pretty popular, so I'm not welcome in some places. But I found out through the homeschools, which are very big in this area, they just love this creation teaching.
I know,
they,
it's great.
They just go wild about it. So,
well, and you get addicted to it. Once you speak a few times, it's like, man, I want to do this forever. You know.
And, of course, from my homeschools, there's some fine people in our homeschools up here. They'll go back to their churches now, and they tell the youth pastor, man, we need to get this in here for our kids.
Right.
And so it just starts snowballing, and right now I'm speaking 4 times a week right here in this area.
Brother, we got to...
Homeschools or churches.
Hang on, Morris. We got a break here.
Sure.
We'll be back in about a minute and a half.
Sure.
Hey, thanks a lot. All right, folks, welcome back to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Albert live here. Awesome, Albert, live here, January
23rd of 06.
And we're the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. And you can join us on the program at 877-479-DINO, extension 136, or 850-479-DINO, extension 136, or instant message us at Dr. Dino Live, and we'll be getting to your questions in a minute. We have with us Morris from... What's the name of your town? Lonsdale,
Arkansas. It's near Hot Springs.
Yeah. Anyway, you're telling us about how you got started. You saw some of our videotapes and got hooked up with Ken Pennington.
Right.
I'm sorry to hear about that, brother.
Yeah, he's a good man. He's wanting to build a dinosaur adventure land.
Oh, I've been friends of his for years. He's a great guy.
Yeah, I found that out after I talked with him a little while.
Yep.
I want to find out, Dr. Hovind, that there are people here that are just as hungry for the truth as I was.
Right.
And it's so sad that it's not being, the information's available. I can't understand why a lot of the churches and the youth leaders and especially parents are not picking up on this. And I guess it's just that they have, no one has ever shown them. No, they've never been told. And it's just like lights go off, and I know the feeling when the light goes off, I mean, comes on, really, when you realize that the Bible is literally true. I mean, it's just, and then it, you get such confidence to defend your faith, because, you know, as I've heard you say often, I wouldn't want to stand up and defend we came from a rock. I mean, it's like shooting fish in a barrel.
It is. It's such an easy job. I tell you, I love it.
It really is. And once you get just a grounded just a little bit, well, this is fun. And I'm just loving it, and the Lord has blessed me. And I want you to know that He gets all the honor and glory. It's not about me, and it's not about what I'm doing. It's about showing Him as our Creator. And, you know, and if we understand where we came from, then we're going to be interested in where we're going.
Amen.
And that's where we need to head. It's to try to reach people with a salvation message that God is the Creator, He's the Sustainer, and brother, He's the Judge, and He's coming to judge us one of these days, and we need to be ready.
Amen. Now, you're traveling, speaking on creation. Have you been out of Arkansas yet, or mostly around there?
I haven't been out of Arkansas. I've been probably with 100-mile radius here in central Arkansas, but if anybody... I haven't turned down an engagement yet, but if anybody's interested in getting a hold of me up in this part of the country, they can call me at area code 501-794-3115. And I'll be glad to. I'm retired, and I do this. This is my sole reason for existing now, is to teach creation.
Awesome. And what do you charge to go speak on creation?
Well, so far, I haven't charged anything. I do it for free. Now, if the price of gas goes up much higher, I may have to rethink this. But I'll do it for love offerings. And if you don't love me very much, well, that's okay. Then I'll do it for nothing.
That's right. Amen. I feel the same way, brother. That's awesome. All right. Well, good. Give the phone number. And one more time, how do they get a hold of you if they want you to come speak there?
Okay. My phone number is area code 501-794-3115. My name is Lawrence Boyd.
All right.
Thank you, Dr. Hovind.
Great. Well, brother, call in any time and tell Ken Pennington I said hi.
I will.
All right. Thanks a lot.
God bless you.
All right, folks. You're going to get your questions in. 877-479-DINO. We take phone calls first. You folks, instant messages here. Sorry, it's been a long time. I'm getting to them right now, though. AOL instant message. Dr. Dino live. Here we go. Hippie writes in. Sorry if this question seems a bit juvenile, but I was thinking about what you said, I believe, on Thursday. Salt is a preservative. So if you lay in a bed of salt and cover your skin in salt, would it preserve your skin from wrinkling and aging? I don't know if it would help with the wrinkling. It probably would enhance it because the salt would draw the water out of your skin and make you wrinkle more. It would definitely preserve you. I mean, they can take meat. They've done this for centuries. Take, catch fish and put them in a barrel, or pork and put it in the barrel and just pack it full of salt. They called it salt pork. That was sailors will take this stuff on board, and it'll keep for, I don't know, years, I would suspect. As long as it's packed in salt, it kills all the bacteria. So, but I don't think it'd be good to just lay in a bed of salt. However, in some countries, they take newborn babies and rub their body with salt because it kills all the bacteria. So, I don't know. It'd be an interesting question. Good question. Don't have a positive answer for that. But you'd have other things to do than lay around in salt all day long. I would think you'd want to, you know, work and eat and, you know, get a drink once in a while. And you know, I wouldn't want to just lay around in salt all day just so I could be preserved. Preserved for what? So I can lay around more? You know, I can do something, man. Here we go. PP2K writes in. The gift of tongues in the Bible, it was used many times by witnesses to translate the languages into all languages as they evangelize. However, it seems that the ability is no longer valid today. Why is that? Let's see. In the book of Acts, Jesus said in the Gospels, let's see, is it Matthew 28 or Mark 16 or Luke 24, I forget where, but Jesus said, you know, and there shall signs will follow those who believe. They will, you know, speak with other tongues. They will take up, you know, serpents and not be harmed. They can drink poison, not be harmed. They can raise the dead. You know, give several signs that are going to follow those who believe. Okay. I believe those signs were given for the transitional time, transitioning from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Just like when God told Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And here's a couple signs. Stick your hand in your shirt, and when you pull it out, it's going to be full of leprosy. Drop this stick, it turns to a snake. Well, that's not something Moses could do all the time. It's just, here's the transition time to get my people out of Egypt. So there were miracles and signs. I believe the signs that are given there are for that transition time. Nobody today is raising the dead. Here's what happened. In Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up and preaches in, we would assume, Hebrew, and they hear him in 17 different languages. That's a miracle, as far as I can figure out. So if I spoke in English and somebody heard me in French, that's a miracle.
Yeah, by my books it is.
Okay. So that's in Acts chapter 2, he spoke in one language, they heard him in 17 languages. That's not what's happening today in these churches that say they're speaking in tongues. Then in Acts chapter 10, you got Cornelius, the Italian centurion stationed in Israel with 100 guys from Italy, and he gets saved and gets all excited and starts speaking in Italian. So I have read the scriptures a lot of times, okay, many, many, many times, cover to cover. I don't see what they're talking about. If somebody can straighten me out, I'd like to see it, but I think with some in this movement, it is an attempt to shortcut the typical way of becoming a spiritual, mature child of God. They want a quick shortcut. I want to hurry and grow up and, you know, walk down the altar, pray for 5 minutes, and now I'm way ahead of you that, you know, I've been reading your Bible and praying for 20 years. I don't go for it. How about you, Alvin?
No, not at all.
Okay, man, a few words today. Okay, here we go. Newbert Pye writes in, is there any way you can simplify how carbon dating does not work? I'm going to talk to my sister's science teacher about evolution and creation. She's going to bring up carbon dating, I'm pretty sure. Possibly, you'd want to have my video number 7 ready, queued up to that spot. Of course, if it's a DVD, you don't queue them up. And just say, look, I can't explain it, but here, this guy can. Because it's a 30-minute explanation about carbon dating. I don't know that I can give you a 5-minute. I would point out that since carbon dating has been developed in 1949, Willard Libby, University of Chicago, it has never, never worked. Never once. They may have to test an object 10 times till they get the number they want. Well, why didn't they just pick that number to begin with and save all that money? No, it just, there's a book out called The Rate Project, R-A-T-E. Real technical, or there's a book called Thousands, Not Billions, which is a little more user-friendly. I read that one a couple weeks ago. That one covers it in English instead of in, you know, scientific jargon. But carbon dating is based on the assumption that the amount of C14 in the atmosphere has been consistent for millions of years, and that this always decays at the same rate, and that there's been no contamination over the years. And it's really based on the assumption that the geologic column is correct, which is absolutely not true. There is no geologic column any place on Earth, except in the textbooks. That's the only place you'll ever find the geologic column. Okay, here's one from Tim Eagle, 77. I read on Wikipedia.org that you had an encounter on the Ali G show. Glenda, did you see me on the Ali G show? Have you seen that? Have you ever seen the Ali G show? I got a phone call from Washington, D.C., and they said, hey, we're calling for the Ali G show. Would you like to be on his program? I said, well, tell me about it. And they said, well, we're going to have you debate 5 evolutionists. I said, that's wonderful. I would be thrilled. they said, okay, we'll fly you to Washington, D.C., put you up in a hotel, and then we'll have the, you know, the Ollie G show. I've never heard of Ollie G. I didn't know who the guy was.
I've never heard of him until you just said it.
But I do, you know, lots of programs. I mean, Glenda, you schedule. I do lots of radio programs, TV programs, etc. Okay. So I said, sure. I get up there and put me up in a real nice hotel, you know, I don't know, four-star hotel, probably $200 a night, whatever. It doesn't matter. To me, it's a bed. I don't care. I want to go to bed, you know. But and they call me in for this interview, and we go in this room, and there's four or five other people sitting on these couches in kind of a big circle, and there were at least 12 cameramen. They had mega multi-bazillion dollar cameras, and I thought, man, who's this Ollie G? I never heard of this guy. But it must be important because they're spending a fortune on this show, you know. And they got cameras every angle you can imagine, you know. And so we're all sitting around waiting. And out walks this guy. He's like 6'4", and he's all dressed up in like a punk rocker. He's got the tight beanie cap on. He's got jewelry all over the place. Got the goatee, you know, thick dark glasses, kind of a jogging suit on, bright wild color jogging suit. And he's got, you know, 10 necklaces around his neck, big gold chains, you know. Just, I thought, call the security guards, get this guy out of here, you know. He's coming to interrupt the program, you know, because I'm in Washington, D.C. They got a lot of strange critters there. And it turns out he's the host of the show, Ollie G. He dresses up. You go to Google and type in Ollie G. You can look him up on there, okay? Strange looking guy. I found out later, the entire thing is an act, okay? He acts real stupid. But actually, it's to see how his guests react so he can get them on video making fools of themselves. Like, for instance, one time he was on there, he was interviewing, somebody's giving him a tour of the United Nations, okay? And they're walking around the United Nations, and they see it's empty, you know, they got all these chairs, and he's got one for the country of Jordan. And he walks over, he's talking to the cameraman, he said, I don't think it's fair that a basketball player gets his own country, you know. And the guy's trying to explain, No, this is the country of Jordan, not Michael Jordan. Which, of course, he knows, but he's playing this for all it's worth, you know, to make it sound stupid. He's got the leader of the United Nations on one of his programs, and he says, what about all these terrorist threats? What about this guy sending the Tampax through the mail? He says, I think you mean anthrax. He said, well, I know there's lots of brands, but he said, what about... It's just stupid stuff, you know? He just catches everybody off guard, so... That's what I was on the show for. Yes, I had no clue what it was, and they taped for 30 minutes and showed like, you know, 40 seconds of it. That's all they want is just that one clip where they catch somebody doing something dumb. He kept saying, I could not, even months after I left that program, I came home, I told my family, I said, I have just met the dumbest person on planet Earth. Nobody could possibly be that stupid. He was on there, he's talking about, he said, what do you think about technology? I thought it was going to be a debate on me, you know, me against, you know, these guys on evolution. I said, technology, what's he talking about? So finally one of the other guys said, oh, you mean technology? He said, yeah. He said, I got a friend, he don't believe in no technology. He's got a whole website telling about he don't believe in got a website saying he don't believe in technology. Think about it. So then he talks about flushing toilets, how, you know, it's important the technology to flush toilets. I said, yeah, I think that's a great idea. You know, I'm for it. And he said, well, what about you? You didn't flush the toilet. You just put a piece of paper over it. So I said, what are you talking about? He says, he's dumb. Anyway, so yes, I was on the Ollie G show. Long answer to a short question. They probably still have the clip on there. You can see it for yourself. But I did not get to debate the five evolutionists. And I was disappointed. And I'll come back and do it again. This time I'll be ready for Ollie G and try to stick on it. Okay, here we go. Hippie writes back, to add to my last question about salt, if I just say 5-pound strip of steak in a barrel filled with salt outside in the middle of summer for a few hours, would it really preserve the meat enough for me not to get sick when I eat it, regardless of heat and humidity? I don't know that I can say regardless of heat and humidity. You probably should read, there's probably stuff on the internet about that, how to preserve, you know, things with salt. But I would guess there's a limit, you know. I mean, the sailors would get the salt, barrels of salt and meat, and keep it down below deck on the ship. I'm sure they had high humidity problems, but temperature, well, they don't have any air conditioning too, but just being out of the sun. there would be a limit to what. But salt is amazing in preserving meat. So you'd have that's not my field of expertise, Hippie. You'd have to read up some on that. I don't think I could answer that one. Okay, here we go. Jason Voorhees, 2K4, writes, "Hello, I have a question today. Zechariah 12:4, it states, 'Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth.' Now, my question would be, do you think that is a reference to some sort of nuclear bomb? The passage perfectly describes how nuclear radiation affects the human body." I believe you're probably right, Jason. I remember as a kid I read the book Hiroshima. Leah, are you still in here? She go outside. We have a book in our library here about the bombing of Hiroshima, or Hiroshima, however you pronounce it. I read the book 6 times, cover to cover. It was so interesting. It tells in there about when the city of Hiroshima was bombed, there was a group of, I think it was 20 Japanese gunners were standing at their guns, at their anti-aircraft guns. They're looking up in the sky, watching this one lone American bomber come by. And the bomb went off, you know, I don't know, a mile or so above the ground, okay? And they were looking at it when it exploded, and it melted their eyeballs. Their eyeballs melted and ran down their cheeks. Didn't kill the guys, but the radiation melted their eyes, and it's just, the book author tells in the book about these guys wandering around with their arms on each other's shoulders, you know, trying to figure out where they're going. Because it, so, yeah, their eyes can consume away in their holes, the flesh. It tells in the story Hiroshima about this one guy's helping people get across the river, and he reached down to help this, I don't know if it's a man or woman, up out of the water, and the skin of their arm and hand slipped off like a glove. Just came right off. So, anyway, we'll be back, folks, in just a minute. Take your questions here at Dr. Dino Live. Good evening, folks. Welcome back to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Final segment here, January...
The 23rd.
23rd. Of 06. On the ball.
I had to rely on memory.
Wow, that's tough. Yeah. Working without tools is hard, isn't it? Stay away. And we're the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. And that's the position we defend. And you can call us 877-479-DINO at extension 136. Who's on the phone there, Albert?
Jonathan.
Jonathan, yes, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, it's me again here on Pal Talk in our little room here. We're putting your show out. I called in like Thursday or Friday, I believe, and talked to you before.
Sure.
So, there's some more people in here. We had our resident armchair genius atheist left the room. He was saying he was going to call in, and you know, he wanted to make some claims and stuff like that, and try to get you on the air. And,
sure, anytime.
And well, he, you know, as soon as the line was free, he left. So, you know. I guess that's what they usually do, but now it's just the, now it's gotten to be a little bit smaller room here, it's just a couple of believers of us, and we were wondering what, they wanted to know about the little April Fool's joke that was pulled on you since you were talking about Ali G.
Right.
And, the deadpan thing with the, Allosaurus eating the fake human skeleton and stuff like that, that they had done, I think it was in Philadelphia last year.
Yeah, I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago on here. Somebody asked about it. I was going in to speak. I believe it was Philadelphia. I don't remember. I was walking up to, you know, get ready to speak and set up my stuff, and somebody walked up and said, "Hey, have you heard about the new website? It's got a picture of a human and dinosaur, you know, found side by side in the same rock strata." I said, "No." And they showed me some kind of picture, and I said, "Man, I'll check it out, you know, when I get time." Okay? End of story. Then later during the seminar, at the end, I always have question-answer time. And somebody asked, maybe it was a setup, I don't know, like LAG, but somebody said, you know, "What evidence is there of humans and dinosaurs living together?" And they went on and on. I answered the question, and they said, "Well, have their bones been found together?" I said, "I don't know, but somebody showed me a picture tonight, just before we started, and told me there's a website that deals with that." And so I mentioned the website. I said, "I've not checked it out, but, you know, I just heard about it." End of story.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I went home and checked it out, found out it's a fake, I've never mentioned it since. They're still talking about that on the internet. It's got to be 12 years ago.
Well, yeah, that's out there. There are some people that, you know, might come along or come across
it. They must really, really be desperate.
I know. I mean, they're really digging there, no pun intended. But, yeah.
That's scratching the bottom of the barrel.
Mm-hmm.
I did not promote it. I clarified. I said, "Look, I haven't seen it. I don't know. I just heard about it tonight." I mean, what did I do wrong in that situation?
Yeah, I don't think you did anything wrong. But they are, when they can't really refute you scientifically. They go to character defamation. I just, you know,
correct.
Try to poke fun at you. So, anyway, I can't. There's nothing else from our little Pal Talk audience here. Yep. They are just kind of wondering about that.
Sure. Well, I'm live all week. Hopefully for the next 400 years. So.
Well, yeah, you said last week you weren't going to be on Monday, so I didn't have anybody scheduled.
I'm sorry. I thought I spoke Sunday and Monday. I realized when I got to the church, I'm only speaking Sunday. So great. Yeah, I'll be home. So.
All right. Well, we'll be tuning in for the rest of the week here for your show.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye bye. Okay, folks, you can join us, 877-479-DINO, extension 136. Nuclear radiation was a question from Jason. I'm holding the book in my hand, Hiroshima by John Hershey, 1946, the year after it happened. Excellent book about the different people. It just traces the lives of six people who survived through the blast. But yes, the eyes melted right in their head, and the skin just melted right off of their body, the people who were exposed to this. Unbelievable damage that was done. Okay. And you know, believe it or not, most of that Japanese involvement in World War II had to do with evolution. The Japanese scientists were saying how that evolution was true and that the Japanese have evolved farther because they have milder body odor and less hair. And, you know, they're Americans were more apish. Oh, brother. Okay. Here we go. Hello, this is from literally 32,000. Hello, I have a question today. Just curious, I'm going to be moving to Port Charlotte, Florida. Wondering, know any good churches in the area? Boy, I have never spoken in Port Charlotte. I'm afraid I can't help you on that one. I don't know. There's a Bible college in Haines City, Florida, that might know. Call me sometime during the day, and I'll look up in my website and see what I have on my database from people in that area, but sorry, I can't help you. Okay, who's on the phone there, Albert?
We have Valerie from Welland, Canada.
Valerie from Canada. What part of Canada?
Oh, from Welland, Ontario.
Oh, Ontario. Yes, okay.
Yeah, hi.
Howdy.
I have a few questions.
Okay.
Because you do proclaim that the Bible is true.
Correct.
I totally agree with you. I just have a few concerns because concerning abortion.
Okay.
Some people claim that because the Bible says, in what verse is it? The one concerning life, the life of the flesh is in the blood.
Right.
Well, I don't know. They just say that because the embryo doesn't have bloodstreams until day 14.
Well, nobody performs an abortion before day 14. They don't even know they're pregnant before that.
Well, yeah.
I mean, come on.
But I don't know. I don't really know if I can agree with aborting a child before that age. Or an embryo. I just want to know what you think about that, or if you have any views on that.
Well, I think abortion is murder at any stage, for any reason. Well, the one exception might be the life of the mother. I mean, if you're given an opportunity, if the doctor says, look, your wife is going to die if we don't abort this baby. Okay, well, then I think the scripture would give pretty clear indication that, yeah, the choice is the mother or the baby, then you kill the baby and keep the mother.
Okay.
That is so rare that that happens. So rare, okay? Mm-hmm. But that's not what most of them are, okay? The Bible has a lot to say about, Exodus 21:22. If men strive, if two men are fighting, and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, she shall be surely punished. According as the woman's husband shall lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. So, if two guys are fighting and accidentally hit a woman who's pregnant and she loses the baby, the husband decides on the punishment, and the judges decide on how much he pays, but he's guilty either way, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All through Scripture, there's a lot of references to this type of thing. In 1 Samuel, in Genesis, I'll look it up here in my Bible search program. I'll just type in the word with child. Yeah. Genesis 16:11. The angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child. It doesn't say you're with a fetus. Mm-hmm. You're with child, you know. It's going to be a child.
Okay. Oh, I'm just concerned because I just don't understand how some people can justify with that one verse, and I just wanted to know if there were some other ones that you could recommend to use to rebuttal that, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah, so because I was reading that, I was just shocked that they can say, just because the Bible says that one verse, that it's okay if they don't have bloodstreams at that age. But
okay, ask them, tell them, okay, well, if you want to abort babies before they're 14 days, I want to see when this has ever been done. You can't even find it at 14 days. It's, you know, it's about the size of a period on a page. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're not even going to find it, let alone abort it.
Okay.
Okay?
That's good to know.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Have
bye-bye.
A nice day.
All right, bye-bye. All right, folks, you can join us on the program, 877-479-DINO, extension 136, or you can instant message us, as many have, and I'm getting behind here, Albert. I'm never going to make it.
You were talking also about telling them another way of getting a hold of the program.
It's not quite ready yet, but as of maybe tomorrow, you'll be able to email. You're going to really be busy over there.
I know.
You have instant message, phone, and email. This does not include a raise. I'm just letting you know ahead of time, okay?
Okay, that's
okay. we'll be plenty busy. Jonathan is working on getting it where you can email, and you're going to leave the instant message on
all day.
So you can email. You can instant message anytime, and it sits in queue. And we pick it up at 4:30 whenever you come in for the program.
Yeah, it does just sit there so everybody knows until 4:30.
Nobody's going to answer it. But so instant message or email as of tomorrow, maybe. We're working on it. Any time, day or night, when you get an idea, send it in. Or our website you'd like commented on, okay? Port Charlotte can't help you. Sorry about that. Doug1243 says, I would say January 23rd is not the worst day, but the most inconvenient day of the year. Because I live in New Hampshire. Oh, you know what's happening in New Hampshire right now?
I have no idea. Come
20
on.
20 miles of snow.
Really?
Oh, it's incredible. And just as the snow is melting away, I'm all happy because I hate driving in snow. Then today we get a bunch of snow. Question, what's up with the New World Order right now? I heard some stuff on your 2003 seminar, but what are they planning now? Are there any new dates set to kill down the population to 500,000? Is there any more evidence to show people New World Order is not just a theory?
Chemtrails.
Chemtrails. Go to the internet, Google, and type in chemtrails for chemical trails. Just do it. Just read. Read for a half hour on chemtrails, and it'll make you realize we don't have much time left. Yes, I believe the whole population of the world is being poisoned. How's that for a wild, fanatical conspiracy theory? Okay. Here we go. Dinos Are Us. That's a cute web. I like this one. Dinos Are Us. He says, hello, I have a question today. Really, I would just like to say thank you for coming to Kernersville, North Carolina yesterday. I met you outside the church before your last afternoon service. You led me to the Lord 10 years ago. I introduced you to my wife and two beautiful daughters. Ah, yes, I remember so much. Charles, right? Let's see. I've been speaking with Sunday school classes, youth groups, Bible studies, and men's groups over 10 years. And I am now adventuring outside my area with other churches. Thank you again for living your life for Jesus. There is so much I want to say, but I will send in my testimony and what your ministry has meant to me later this week. Thanks for coming. Thank you again for what you are doing. Charles Adams from Greensboro, North Carolina. Well, Charles, thank you so much. And he says, okay, my first name is Ron, but my family calls me by my middle name, Charles. I use both. Charles at dinosrus.com. Awesome. Well, good. Thank you, brother. We appreciate it. Led him to the Lord 10 years ago and still bearing fruit. Boy, that's the neat thing about the Lord's work. You know, you drop seeds everywhere you go and some of them really, really take root. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Here we go. Cutie Girl. Cutie Girl, 3856, says, in your creation videos, you say a 1,000-year reign of Christ and waiting for it to happen in 10 minutes. And I know that's just a joke, but we don't need to have the rapture, 7-year tribulation, second coming. But don't we need to have the rapture, 7-year tribulation, second coming, and then we have the 1,000-year reign of Christ. P.S. To get to the video for the Ali G thing, go to thewilsonhouse.com. Guest Ali G. /guest/Ali G versus Ken Hovind. Okay. I'll have to see that. Thank you so much. The guy, I thought the guy has to be the dumbest guy on planet Earth. I'm telling you, it was incredible. Okay. So, yeah, 1,000-year reign of Christ. Well, let's see. I should probably have not said 1,000-year reign of Christ coming soon. There has to be a 7-year tribulation. Some have argued we're in it. This has started. I don't know that I believe that. But certainly the Chinese and Russian Christians think they've been in it for a long time, and the Sudanese Christians in Sudan They really think they've been in it because they're getting killed right now today, you know, by the tens of thousands of people getting killed, or the Rwandan Christians down in Central Africa. There is incredible persecution of Christians going on. There's a book in a library. I don't know if I can point to it now or not, since she moved everything around. But there have been more Christians killed in the last 100 years than there have been in the last 2,000 years combined. Last century was absolutely the worst for Christian martyrdom around the world. It is unbelievable. How many are being killed? Oh, I don't see the book here. Huge book. Well, I'll see if I can find that for tomorrow. Okay, the rest of you, sorry, we'll save your questions and start off the program with them tomorrow. See you then. Thanks a lot. Bye.